The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. Marion McCone, if Donald Trump is as rich as he claims to be, and at one stage I think he's claimed he's worth about $10 billion, how come he can't put up this bond that's required in New York in one of the civil cases that he's failed in?
Well, you know, Matt, he also claimed that his apartment in Trump Tower was 30,000 square feet, but it's about 10,000. So I don't think we could take his assessment. And that's what the whole case was about, in fact, that you just couldn't take his word for anything when he used all of this data and exaggerations and lies to get these loans at favorable rates, etc. And so that's really why he's in the trouble he's in right now. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens next. He's going to have to come up with about $454 million is about the amount that he owes at the moment. To cover that, plus the bond fees and the interest, is going to be well north of $500 million, about $560 million probably. And it seems that he, according to him and his lawyers, they tried 30 different companies and nobody could get a bond for him. This suggests a couple of things. A, would you loan Donald Trump money, take a bond, unless you had very, very good collateral? Probably not. So it seems that the collateral he's offering is not good enough for the bond companies. Either that they're saying, you know, the money you claim you have, the stocks you claim you have, and the properties you claim you have are not worth what you're claiming they are. And that seems to be really the core of his problem. So I don't know. I mean, he has a couple of options. He can appeal, I think. You know, where he's appealed the judgment, obviously, and now he's asking that the appeal court would either freeze the demand for this money or that he could just pay maybe $100. Letitia James gave him an extra 30 days. Now, as of March 25th, she can start putting liens on his properties. She can start freezing his bank accounts. She can do all of these things. I suspect she may wait off, because I think this could be grist to Trump's mill, that if they start seizing his properties and seizing and his bank accounts, that he's going to become even more of a martyr and even more of a, you know, look what they're doing to me. So I suspect that, you know,
Fairness, isn't $454 million a ludicrous amount to look for in a bond as part of an appeals process?
Well, this is nothing personal to Donald Trump. This is how the New York appeals process works. If you appeal an award in a civil judgment, whether it's $5 or $500 million, you have to lodge that amount with the court, or collateral for that amount with the court, so that if you lose your appeal, the court can then hand it on to the plaintiff that it's owed to. In this case, that would be Letitia James and New York State. So, you know, as I say, the amount is extraordinary, but this is a very routine procedure. Aside from the amount, she may even agree to say, okay, you know what, we'll take $100 million or whatever. We don't really know how this is going to play out yet, but it's very humiliating for him already, because it does seem to expose, look, he's not worth what he says he is. His properties aren't worth what he says he is, and he doesn't have the money he says he does. And I think that's what's really been enraging him this week, and may account in some way for the appalling comments he made about Jewish Democrats.
Okay, Cal Thomas is with us now. And Cal, I know you've been writing in your nationally syndicated column this week about the Fannie Willis issue in Fulton County, Georgia, the district attorney and her relationship with special prosecutor Nathan Wade. What's your take on the latest developments?
Well, Matt, I think this plays off what is happening in New York, which Marion was just discussing, and the level of credibility and faith in the legal system that not just Trump supporters question, but there are some people now on the Democratic side who are thinking that this is not fair either. I noted that the judge used the word mendacity, which I haven't heard since Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, the movie, in giving Willis or Wade the option of leaving the case. Now, mendacity, for those who don't know, means lying, and that means whatever the outcome in the Georgia case, it's likely to be tainted not just by the sexual relationship of Willis and Wade, but they're lying about what they did, when they did it, and money that exchanged hands. Trump supporters, again, will see this as another case of unequal justice.
But hold on a second, Cal. Willis and Wade are not going to be making the final judgments. They're prosecuting a case. It's up to the jury and the judge to actually make the decisions of fact.
Well, it is, but it was up to the district attorney to bring the charges in the first place, or there would be no jury and judge. I watched a lot of this testimony live and here in the U.S., and to listen, they had Wade's former divorce attorney on the stand. He couldn't remember certain things. He was caught in lies on a couple of occasions, and it just injects further distrust in the legal system. You know, again, Marion was mentioning just before I came on the New York case, we have an Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, which says excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Now, there are a lot of people, and not just Trump supporters, who think that that bail, that fine was excessive. And I think it will be reduced on appeal. But the Willis and Wade case adds to this. You know, all Democrats are prosecuting Trump. You have Jack Smith, whose wife is a big fundraiser for the Democrats. You have Letitia James in New York, the attorney general, who ran on a platform of getting Trump. And you have this Willis situation in Georgia. It just doesn't ring true for a lot of people.
Indeed, Mary McKeown. So is all of these things worse than the things Trump is alleged to have done?
Well, you know, just a couple of things there very quickly. Trump could not be prosecuted if he hadn't done things that were wrong. You know, it was Donald Trump who tried to overthrow the election. We know that. We saw him on the ellipse on January 6th. We heard him sicking his mob on the Capitol. You know, he's not some innocent bystander or victim or martyr. Like, he's making himself out to be like an Alex Navalny. He is not. He has done repeated things wrong. And all of these things, all of these prosecutions stem from his own misdeeds. Now, with the Fannie Willis case, very briefly, I think she showed a deplorable lack of judgment. I think it was inexcusable what she did. But I think the way the judge handled it is also inexcusable. Scott McAfee could have called her and Nathan Wade and the defense lawyers into his chambers, and he could have resolved that whole thing in 15 minutes. And he could have said, right, one of you is off the case. This doesn't look right. And that was all he had to do. Instead, he dragged it out into this full-scale hearing. There was no need for it. And then, having said, okay, I see no proof, because the only question was, did she benefit financially from her relationship with Nathan Wade? When there was no proof of that, and that was the only question that was to be decided, he could have then said, okay, fine, but you know what, one of you stay, one of you go. Instead, he dragged it all through. He delayed the case by months and months, and then he came out with this thing where he cleared her on the one hand, and then said, but there's mendacity around this. You know, so basically what he did was damage her while saying she could stay in the case. It was a really bad judicial decision. And another reason, I think, that, as Cal said, and we both agree on this, that the perception of justice in America at the moment is so off from the Supreme Court down. There's a real feeling that the system, to paraphrase Donald Trump, is rigged. And I think this judge played into it. But I do think, as I said, Fannie Willis behaved disgracefully.
Okay, let's move on to Robert Kennedy Jr. Tell us, Cal, about his potential vice presidential nominees if he does run against Trump and Biden.
Well, they're crazy. They go from Aaron Rodgers, the former quarterback, football quarterback, American football, to all kinds of other people, including Tulsi Gabbard, former congresswoman. I don't see any of them being qualified to be president, which has always been a prerequisite for any vice presidential choice. I see that the Biden White House invited many members of the Kennedy clan to the White House to support Biden and not to support their relative, Robert Kennedy Jr. I think that was a clever political ploy. But, you know, I think they're clearly worried at the White House because of Biden's continued low poll numbers. And you're hearing stories now. NBC News reported that several sources have witnessed President Biden throwing fits, getting angry, cursing at his staff people who show him the bad poll numbers. And so I think the White House is clearly worried about RFK Jr., regardless of who he might pick as his running mate.
I hope all the New York Jets fans didn't believe you when you said that Aaron Rodgers was retired. They're expecting him to recover from his Achilles injury and be able to play later this year. Mary McKeown, what do you make, though, of the continued presence of Robert Kennedy Jr.? Irritant or significant?
Oh, he's ridiculous, but he is significant, you know, and I think that it has to be taken seriously. Look, he's so like Donald Trump. I'm writing about it this week in the Business Post. The distance between those two is so small, they should really be on the same ticket. But I think he's going to pick Nicola Shanahan, who is the very, very wealthy ex-wife of one of the Google co-founders, Sergey Brin. And she paid for the ad, the Super Bowl ad, or a large part of it. She's got plenty of money. She's a lawyer. She's about 39. The reason I think that is he's making his announcement in Oakland, California, on March 26th. He sent out a thing saying that for $24, starting price, you can buy tickets to see this announcement. I'm like, no thanks, I'll save my $24. But I think that she's, and he's also apparently registered, the name Kennedy Shanahan has been registered. So I suspect that points to her as the campaign. But it's ridiculous. He's never going to be president, but he is. The fact that he could seriously damage Joe Biden is not ridiculous. And I think, you know, again, in a classic Trumpian thing, he said, oh, it was only a tiny percentage of his family members in the White House. Well, there were well over 50 in that photograph with Joe Biden, and that's not a tiny percentage of anyone's family.
Well, it's a small percentage of a Kennedy family, I think.
Well, I think there were about 100, 120 of them all in, so it was over
formally
the mark. But he also said he played a role in facilitating that visit to the White House. You know, again, it's Trump. It's the ego run riot. And he really has no business being in presidential politics, I think, on any level. But I think, I mean, anyone can enter, of course. But I think that, yes, he the potential for him staying in the race, if he gets on enough ballots, and he already is on some ballots in swing states, it could be really damaging for Joe Biden.
Okay. And finally, the Irish James Bond, Pierce Brosnan, apologising for walking off trail in Yellowstone Park for a selfie shot, Cal.
Well, James Bond would never do this, but it's too bad the border laws are not being forced as well as the law in Wyoming. That would be nice to see.
Marion, your last word, please.
Well, you know what? I think he was in Montana. He did a selfie. He said he didn't see the do not trespass sign. But you know what? In a refreshing, it was a dumb thing to do. And there is a site called Tourons, Tourist Morons of Yellowstone, where he featured. But you know what? He fessed up and he didn't say, I'm sorry if I offended people. He said he apologized that he did, you know, I heartfelt apologies for trespassing in this sensitive area. So at least he owned it and he's paying the fine. You know, dumb move, but, you know, he made the apology.
Marion McKeown from the Business Post, Cal Thomas, nationally syndicated US columnist. Thank you both for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.